So as President Hu Jintao visits with President Obama today in Washington, D.C., there's a state dinner tonight at the White House. A preview of this summit meeting that we're exploring all hour here on The Takeaway really took place last week with Secretary of Defense Robert Gates visiting Beijing and talking with military leaders for the first time between U.S. and China, a senior military dialogue since 2000, when military contacts broke off after a dispute over the differences the U.S. and China share over Taiwan. Joining us now to talk about the forward motion of the defense relationship between the U.S. and China is Sheng Dingli, who's a fellow at the Asia Society and director for the Center for American Studies at Fudan University in Shanghai. He joins us from the other side of the world in Seoul, South Korea. Professor, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, and thanks so much for joining us. How important do you think the Taiwan issue is in U.S.-China relations in defense terms versus this issue of the Chinese perception that the U.S. wants to contain China in the Pacific, and therefore China perhaps wants to confront the U.S. Navy in places like the Korean Peninsula?
Well, the Taiwan issue is a perennial headache for the China-U.S. relationship and the military-to-military relationship of the two countries. For the part of China, it's very difficult to see that the U.S. Selling weapons to Taiwan is helpful to China, and we consider it is an unacceptable intervention into China's affairs. And for this, while we understand it's important for the two armed forces between China and U.S. to engage. But we have concern, therefore, we may not have an adequate amount of transparency for the U.S. because we consider that we need to conceal some capability as the U.S. Is undercutting China's interests.
Is there a way for the U.S. and China military relationship to proceed in a non-competitive way, for instance, joint policing of the Pacific, joint defense of various flashpoints in the Pacific versus what's developed into a very, very much a competitive situation where, as we saw with Robert Gates last week, China showing off its stealth fighter, China showing off a missile that could possibly take out aircraft carriers, that sort of thing?
Well, first of all, China and U.S. have already cooperated in terms of sending warships to the Gulf of Aden individually, but we work together in containing the pirating in that place. We, the two armed forces, the two countries work together in fighting international terrorism. And we share interest and we work together in containing the nuclear weapon development of North Korea and in also defeating nuclear program that Iran is developing not in line of the international regulation. And these are the cooperation side, but we also have some area to compete. For instance, China wants to modernize its armed force in order to make the country safe, given the U.S. sales of weapons to Taiwan. So we may not think that our R&D for J-20 is harmful to U.S. As U.S. has had many stealthy bombers and jet fighters for 10 years, 20 years already.
Well,
but we think, we need to develop in order to defend.
Well, you know, the test flight of the stealth fighter by Defense Secretary Robert Gates was in China brought up a couple interesting questions. Number one, the civilian leadership expressed surprise, kind of suggesting that they aren't entirely micromanaging the military or aren't entirely know what's going on in the military. And the other thing is that some Pentagon officials commented that it was so similar to the Lockheed Martin stealth fighter that it could only have been built in China through the use of information that they got through online espionage.
Well, firstly, it's unconfirmed by officially from China if Chinese civilian leadership is able to control the military or not. Personally, I think it's very strange why our civilian could not manage our armed force. Second, if we could get some online information through a legal and public way, I think it's not bad. But everyone can get this legally to help our armed force. And U.S. can get legal information about the Chinese armed force. What we need to prevent is to prevent the illegal online action.
Although there's plenty of tradition of espionage between both nations in terms of the military and industrial espionage. I just want to go back to something you said a moment ago, Sheng Dingli, who's a fellow at the Asia Society and the director for American Studies at Fudan University in Shanghai. Do you believe that the PLA, the People's Liberation Army, the institution of the military in China, is running the show over there?
Well, we want to modernize our armed force in order to defend. And during the process, we need to test and we need to demonstrate a certain capability. It can be read as a show of force, but all armed forces need to test flight their weapons platform. And it's a show, but it's a necessary show.
That I understand. But are you saying that the People's Liberation Army is independent of the so-called civilian leadership in China and is running its own show?
According to our political theorem, it's not possible that our armed force can be independent. We have a slogan that the party, meaning the civilian people, controls the gun. So it should not be otherwise. The armed force controls the gun. But in terms of reality, we need to do research as to whom controls of whom. We need to research.
Well, yeah, I'd rather know the reality than the slogan, that's for sure. Shen Dingli is a fellow at the Asia Society and director for the Center for American Studies at Fudan University in Shanghai, commenting, as we are all hour, on the U.S.-China relationship from the military perspective in his case. You spoke with us from Seoul, South Korea. Thank you, sir.